reminded of the freedoms that we have and many of the blessings that we have. As we think about our founding fathers, there have been a number of statements that have been made and quotations that we refer back to at times. Theodore Roosevelt said, "It is necessary for the welfare of the nation that men's lives be based on the principles of the Bible. No man, educated or uneducated, can afford to be ignorant of the Bible." God's Word. It's what we need for the foundation of all of our lives. A Bible and a newspaper in every house, a good school in every district, all studied and appreciated as they merit, are the principal support of virtue, morality, and civil liberty. Benjamin Franklin. The reality is, yes, we need to know the news and current events, but really, even as we watch that, we must constantly watch it through the lens of God's Word. That God's Word directs how we think and focus on the Bible. Thomas Jefferson said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever." He is just. And there are consequences for sin. And thinking about that reality, again, God's Word must be basis for everything we do. And as we think about and praise the Lord for our freedoms, really, God's Word is the basis for the freedoms that we experience. George Washington said, "The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained," referring to the Bible. The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the Bible. How is it that our neighbors are going to know about the Bible unless you and I share? How is it that the grocery store clerk and the gas station clerk and everybody that we run into, wherever it may be, are going to understand the realities and importance of God's Word unless you and I share that with them? Ronald Reagan, "Without God, there is no virtue because there is no prompting of the conscience. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." And the reality that you and I must have a high view and a high regard for God's Word, and it must dictate the way we live our lives. One of the things that evangelist John Getz challenged the teenagers with this last week is letting God's Word rule life. And the choices that they make. And Brother Ed Dunlap, as he was talking to the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, was already challenging them and encouraging them from biblical principles not to do drugs and alcohol. And was encouraging just to see all those little kids who stood up and said, "I've committed this week that I won't do drugs and alcohol and cigarettes." And I mean, these are little kids, but making decisions right now that will affect the rest of their lives. Decisions based on God's Word. And as Christians, we must constantly make decisions based on God's Word because it affects every aspect of our lives. But if I don't make a decision based on God's Word, it doesn't simply affect my life. It affects my future generations after me. It affects my neighbors. It affects my coworkers. It affects the people who I rub shoulders with every day. Because if God doesn't make a difference in my life, how can He in theirs through me? Let's not forget that we are one nation under God. Let's not forget that it is God who has made us what we are. That it is God who dictates the way we live our lives and the blessings that He gives through that. In Joshua chapter 17, we're reminded once again of the children of Israel and the victories, the freedoms that God had given them. And today as we look in Joshua 17, we're reminded of the children of Manasseh. And some of the lands and the boundaries that they're given. And we could look in verses 1 through 12 and it kind of talks about some of those things. And the boundaries and the cities and the areas that God has given them. And it's incredible to see through how God gave gifts. But as we look at the last part of Joshua 17, I'm reminded that we can have God's power in life, yes, for freedom, even as they had experienced and what God had challenged them to experience. Even when it came to land that they could receive. But as we're reminded of this, that you and I can constantly live with God's power. This freedom that we've been given can go on as we constantly live in God's power, using the gifts of freedom to glorify God through living the Christian life publicly, unashamedly, that God makes a difference in my life and in yours. God gives power for victory. Am I going to live a life with God's power? Follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 11. And Manasseh had in Issachar, and in Asher, Beth Shean and her towns, and Ibleam and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoing of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. We come to different battles in life, and sometimes we just feel that there's no strength. How can I go on? How can I have power to go through this trial and this situation of life? How can I have God's power to deal with these temptations that come my way? Well, you and I can have God's power, not because of anything we do, but because of the mercies of God. And as we're reminded this morning, I want us to see some requirements so that I can constantly live in God's power. Father, we thank you for your love. God, would you help us to see these requirements and to take these requirements seriously so that we can have your power not simply today, but tomorrow when we aren't gathered together as a church family. And sometimes it just feels like we're all alone. Oh God, would you convict our hearts and help us to fulfill these requirements and live for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about the requirements for consistently having God's power in life, we're reminded, number one, the requirement of constant growth. The requirement of constant growth. As we think about babies, we think about children, they constantly do what? Grow. Right? Man, maybe you remember buying pants for your son, and it's like you buy them and 2 months later they're already too short. And you go through this process of life, and it's just like it's a constant growth. We think about that with little babies, and it seems like, man, if they don't grow, there's a problem. What is wrong? What's inhibiting that growth? Well, when it comes to the Christian life, sometimes we just kind of overlook growth. Oh, we came to church. Coming to church doesn't equate Christian growth. You and I must consistently grow in God's Word, and it requires spending time in His Word every day. Part of Christian growth, yes, is coming to church and includes coming to church. But we can't equate godliness with simply external things that we see. See, these people said, we're a great people, but they needed consistent growth. They needed constant growth in life. Look at verse number 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Then look at verse 13. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxen strong, and it talks about their strength. There was some growth in their lives. They had growth in power. And man, I remember as a young boy thinking, man, I was a tough guy and I could take my mom. We were messing around. I learned that I couldn't take my mom. It's incredible. I mean, it's funny to think through some of those things. And I remember, and after that, I said, man, I'm never going to do that again. And she didn't hurt me, but it's like, okay, mom is mom. And that's what's going on. And there is some constant physical growth that happens in the bodies. But you and I must constantly grow spiritually. There needs to be progression. There were kids this week at camp that made the decision that to trust Jesus Christ as Savior for their sins. There were kids this week at camp that made decisions to refrain from alcohol, drugs, cigarette, and all those kind of thing use. There were kids this week at camp who made decisions about bitterness that they had in their lives, that they were going to give it up to God and let God work in these situations. There were so many different decisions throughout all of the campers this week. There was spiritual growth. And yet, as they were challenged, as we were all challenged on Friday night, teens, you remember that. What did he say? In so many words, he said, Monday's coming. Last week at camp, the teens had no distractions. The camp said no electronic media. I mean, they could have cameras, but man, they didn't want kids to have cell phones. How do you live a week without cell phones? It worked, didn't it, Brendan? You made it, right, Shaylin? I mean, we think about, man, what a blessing of cell phones, but the distractions that they can be sometimes in life. And camp wanted us to set aside the distractions so that God could speak, because often God speaks in clear, small voices, and when we're so distracted with so many other things, we just don't listen. How many times do you remember when you would tell your kids something, I didn't hear that? But I told you three times, looking at you in the face, right? I mean, I think of that. I mean, that's a reality that we deal with in our house. But I just looked at you as we had that conversation, but I didn't hear it. Sometimes that's how we are with God. But I didn't hear you, God. You didn't speak to my heart. God doesn't speak to me anymore. Why? Am I listening? I've got to be, one of those requirements for God's power is constant growth. One, I need to admit my need for growth. The children of Manasseh, look in verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh, what is that word? Could not. Those two words there, could not drive out. And yet in the very next verse it says, when they were waxen strong, they realized they needed growth. You know, it's incredible to think through some of the reality of that. Turn back to Exodus chapter 23. Thinking of this in chronological order, Genesis is, yes, creation. And yes, the promise given to Abraham. And really, we see so much of Joseph's life. By the way, Manasseh was one of Joseph's sons. But as they were in the land of Egypt, Exodus, we think of the great Exodus out of Egypt. As they left the land of Egypt. But one of the things God said in Exodus chapter 23, beginning in verse 28, and you may want to keep your hand here. We'll flip back to this passage in a couple minutes. But Exodus chapter 23, beginning at verse number 28, as we see some of these truths, God said, I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Now listen to that again. I will not drive them out but from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be what? Increased and inherit the land. And seeing the incredible reality of that, when they entered the land at Jericho, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and man, we see some of the realities of praise God for victory, but then they had to go on to Ai, and they had to experience victory in city after city, in area after area. Now we see the distribution of the land. Land has been given, but still Canaanites are living in the land. And here in verse 12 of chapter 17, it says, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the who? Canaanites. Didn't God say in Exodus, I won't drive them all out at one time? So yes, God gave national victory, but then there were victory in each pocket that they needed to continue experiencing. There needed to be constant growth. And in order to do that, I must admit that I need growth. Do you need growth in your life spiritually? Now we're at church and we know the right answer. But tomorrow morning when you open up God's Word, will you admit that same truth? God, I need to grow today. Because God, I want you to teach me. I'm not what I need to be. I'm not what I want to be. And God, I see so much need for growth in my life. You know, the older I get, and I know people say this constantly, the older I get, the more I see I need to grow spiritually. The more I wonder, why did God save me? What am I? Well, I need growth. I long for growth. Do you? See, they had to admit there was a need for growth. They couldn't drive out the Canaanites. They were given the land, but there was still more work that needed done. A couple Sunday nights ago in 1 John, we talked about sanctification. And some of you remember, we were talking about the different types of sanctification. The positional, right? Or the positional sanctification. The ultimate sanctification, but the practical sanctification for choosing God or the world every day. I need to grow constantly because I've got choices today to make yet that are either for God or for me. As Brother Ed Dunlap finished one of the week off with a lesson about selfishness with the kids. We are so selfish as adults. We don't see our need for growth. I'm good where I am. I feel comfortable here. I need growth. I must admit that I need growth too. It's not just, yeah, that person needs spiritual growth. Can't we all point out someone who needs spiritual growth? Yes or no? Do we point out other people, at least in our minds, who need spiritual growth? Now, we can admit this, do we? Yes, we do. Maybe you don't. I do. I mean, we all do. Oh, they need growth. Oh, but it's so much easier to see that someone else needs growth and not think about me. I can brush over me because I'm pretty good compared to that person. But I must admit that I need growth. And if I'm going to have the power of God in my life, I need constant growth. And so do you. And so we see this with the children of Manasseh. They needed to grow. They didn't have all the strength they needed. The plan for God was to give them this land and to give them the victory over the Canaanites. But there needed some growth. They needed to admit their need for growth. Man, we can look in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. We won't turn there right now. But Philippians 3, verse 10, where Paul says, what? He needs the power of the resurrection. I want to know him and his power. And he continues on and he says, I'm not what I need to be. God has saved me to be different than I am today. And man, I want to do that. I've got to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. There is growth. Even the Apostle Paul said he needed it in his life. And so often we see Paul and say, he was a man of God. Was he a man of God? But he needed spiritual growth and he admitted it. So then can't I? Man, I remember my teenage years at camp and some of my summer. I grew up in a pastor's family. Many of you know that. And I was always in church. Man, one of my first memories of church was my sister eating her Sunday school paper. And remembering some of those funny things as a kid. But I don't remember not hearing Bible lessons. I don't remember not hearing that God loves me. Man, I'm thankful for that. But you know, I got in high school and I'm like, I'm pretty good. I've heard this stuff all my life. I want to live for God. I'm pretty good. I mean, I remember some of the chapel messages at camp and just, I don't need to go forward. Yeah, I'm conviction, but I'm pretty good. I had to come to the conclusion that I needed to grow. And I need to grow tomorrow too. Yes, let God work in your heart right now. We need God's power. And to have that, we need constant growth. But tomorrow includes constant growth. Maybe you use the daily bread devotionals that we have down below. Maybe you use another devotional guide. Maybe you study God's Word without a devotional guide. Whatever you may do every day, admit, I need growth. God, I need some growth. Would you work in my life? But not simply that I need growth in it. I need to admit I need growth. I need to focus on growth. When we study for class and as we go through preparing for a test, what do? We focus on that material for that class. As we prepare for other things in life, we focus on that. You think of driver's training, and some of you are looking forward to that, and some of you have looked past and said, I'm glad that's over, and all these other aspects of that. But we focus on certain parts of that. And we focus on parts we've struggled and missed. I need to focus on that growth. Again, Joshua chapter 17, verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong. There was some focus on growth. Whether it was simply civil growth, whether it was in might and in showing these people, we're tougher than you are. There's some focus on growth. And you and I need to focus on growth. Not just simply admit it, but man, I need to focus on that. Go back to Exodus. I told you we'd turn back there here quickly. We looked at Exodus 23 verses 28 through 30. And verse 30, it said, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be what? Increased. Verse 31, and I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert upon or unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land. They shall not dwell in thy land. Pretty clear, isn't it? Lest thou make thee sin against, or lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. The reality that, man, there was focused growth. Little by little, they were going to increase, and there's that growth. And that's how we grow. We sang a couple of Sunday nights ago with the kids, little by little, inch by inch. Remember that? By the yard, it's hard. By the inch, what a cinch. Never stare up the stairs, just step up the step. It's one step at a time. I need to focus on growth. Tomorrow morning, when I'm in God's Word, not simply admitting, God, I need growth, but God, how can you grow me right now? Today, would you grow me and change me? Man, we may have goals in our life that I want to be a different person next year spiritually. I'm struggling. I've been at this point. Man, I want to. How does it happen? By focusing on growth a little bit, steadily, every day, that constant growth. One of those requirements for me to have God's power is constant growth in my life. And I want that. I need that. We need that as a church family. How else can we grow together this year? Unless it's constant, focused growth on God. But it's not simply the requirement of constant growth. It's also the requirement of continual obedience. Continual obedience. Back to Joshua chapter 17, verse 13. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to what? Tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. In Exodus 23, was God clear about the command? Was he? But they chose not to obey. Is God's word clear for you and me today? Yes. And many times we choose not to obey because it makes us feel uncomfortable. It gets in our comfort zone. We all have a comfort zone. You might have a comfort pew, right? I mean, this is my spot. No one can move me from this spot. And you sat in my spot and I'm bothered. And Bev, I noticed you don't have a comfort pew. You're over there today. And that's great. We think about that. We have comfort zones in life and no one's going to move me out of that. Not even God. We don't say that, but we don't let him. When God teaches me from his word, I must obey. I must obey. Not try to suppress that. That's not constant growth. But I need not simply constant growth. I need continual obedience. Number one, I must choose ahead of time. I must choose ahead of time. Well, that was just goofy that Brother Ed wanted the little kids to make decisions about drugs and alcohol this week. Right? No. He's teaching them God's principles so that when they're confronted with drugs and alcohol, not all of the third graders are confronted with drugs, are they? No. Now some might be, and cigarettes and other. And I know sometimes there are situations that people introduce kids at young age to cigarettes and alcohol and others. And man, I remember some people saying, yeah, my grandpa gave me my first drink of beer when I was 4 years old. He thought it was funny. And that happens. I understand that. But the reality is, most kids aren't faced with some of those decisions at third grade and fourth grade, though it is getting younger and younger. But as our kids learn these decisions as young kids, when they're confronted with temptation, they've already made their decision. God said no. So that's my answer. And man, we challenge our teenagers. When you get to the point of dating, don't go too far. Plan ahead of time that you won't go too far. And man, we want our kids to make these decisions because in the heat of the moment, whew, a lot can happen, can't it? and fast. But we want them to make these decisions because when that temptation comes, they've already decided. I was listening to a documentary a couple weeks ago about the military. And as they were training some of these military men, they wanted them to role play in their minds a situation that would happen, for some, even for their training. I think it was in the Navy SEAL training. And role playing in their minds some of these things that they would face. And as they studied out some of the benefits and the realities, they said, in many ways, when they first faced that situation underwater, because they role-played it so much in their mind, it was like they'd already been to that situation one other time. Now, we know in our lives, when we say no the first time, it's easier the second time, right? That first chocolate chip, I can't say no to, right? Or that bag of potato chips, it's calling my name. And saying no that first time is just so hard. But the second time, it's a little easier, isn't it? And the reality is when they've already been to that situation in their minds, it's like they've been there a second time. God wants us to plan out ahead of time to obey. He tells them all the way back in Exodus, as they're leaving the land, preparing for the promised land, going through this time, they're not there yet, but he says, prepare to obey. Thou shalt drive them out. Know ahead of time what you're going to do. Now, some of them still knew and they refused to obey. Right? We've told our kids, do this or else, and they didn't do it, and hopefully we followed through with that consequence. That consistency that they need to realize you must obey. But the reality in our lives as adults is we don't always obey. The children of Manasseh didn't continually obey. For me to do that, man, I've got to plan ahead of time. Plan to obey even before you grow. There was growing they needed to do. But if they had already determined when we have that strength and that power, when we're waxing strong, we're going to drive them out. And we tell our kids, when you get to that point, whether it be with community groups like Seriously and some of these other things, or whether it be with spiritual concepts of camp and teaching our kids, say no, and this is why, and our teens, man, don't do this, and say no, and young adults, we say, oh, wait a second. We want them to plan ahead to obey. So must you and I. One of the things that they often ask at camp is, when God speaks, will you commit right now to obey? Did you know God was ready to speak to kids last week? But even before he did, through his word, the camp staff, the preachers, wanted them to be willing to obey what God showed them in their lives. Are you willing to obey what God says? It might make you uncomfortable. That's where that constant growth comes in. But if I'm going to have God's power, I must have constant growth. And I must have continual obedience. I'm planning right now what God speaks to me about today, I'll obey. What God speaks to me about tomorrow in my devotions, God, if you speak to me, I will obey. Will you obey? Plan ahead of time to do right. It's interesting to think about that. When you don't plan, you just do. Some people put it another way, when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that's just in practical life. How about spiritually? You and I won't grow if we don't plan on it. You and I won't obey if we don't plan on it and commit to it. I must choose to obey ahead of time. It requires using your brain. Christian life doesn't mean I just float through life. We see so many young people who are stuck in their video games. And in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with video games. But we see so many people who, they really can't think. They're so focused on their game. We've heard tragic stories of kids who've died because they've just been stuck playing their game and they wouldn't get up to eat. They wouldn't get up to use the bathroom. It's just some basic things. It's like, oh, that's ridiculous. It may be ridiculous, but it happens. And that was just a few simple steps. We say, well, that's how it should be. Well, look at our lives as Christians. What is God speaking to your heart about this week? What did God speak to your heart about last week? Nothing. Well, then there's a problem. And if he did you obey? Praise God, you can, and I hope you did. But when God speaks tomorrow, will you plan right now? I will obey you, God. I will do what you tell me to do because I want your power in my life. I want continual obedience. Exodus 23, verse 30 through 33, that last section said, You need to. You will drive them out. Now, they chose to disobey. But God said, plan it ahead of time. John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, I must choose to obey ahead of time. I must choose to obey in the moment of time. We can make all the preparation and the plans ahead of time. I'm going to obey. And man, our teens and our young adults, when it comes to morality and sex outside of marriage, they can make those good decisions ahead of time. No, but it comes down to that moment of time. What are you going to choose? Are you going to let yourself go too far? There are reasons we set standards up in our lives. Because standards are like fences that keep us from doing certain things. Why? Some of the reasons we encourage our kids to be careful of your friends. Because your friends might encourage you to do alcohol and drugs. But if you set up some of those guidelines and standards, you'll stay away from some of that. And so the reality of setting up these standards, planning ahead of time to obey, but choosing in the moment of time. You will be tempted with sin today. You already know that, right? It might be with your kids. I've been tempted today. What do you choose? Do you choose God's power? Or do you choose your way? Do you choose obeying God or what feels good to the flesh? God reminds us in Hebrews, sin is fun. But only for a what? Sometimes that season is only like a hundredth of a second. And then it's like, what did I do? I just destroyed my life with that decision. What is going on? And so the reality of I must choose in that moment of time to obey. The children of Manasseh, what did they see? Some easy money. They wanted them to pay tribute. Man, this would be a good way to get some easy money. You know, we can still be dominant over them. We don't have to worship their gods and accept them. But look at, we can get some easy money. Lotto, we can get some easy money. Well, most people don't, but it's a justification. And really, even one of the things Brother Ed challenged our juniors with this week. What will you do with the lottery and dealing with selfishness and some of these other aspects and commitments to say no and going through just some of these practical things with the kids? I must choose to obey in the moment of time. Acts chapter 5. Verses 27 through 29, we won't turn there right now, but in verse 29, what did they say? We ought to obey God rather than man. When it comes down to it, I must choose right now when that temptation comes. Yes, all the planning ahead of time and the spiritual growth goes into that decision, but that's when the point of decision happens. If you and I want God's power in life, we are required to have continual growth. Consistent growth. We are required to have continual obedience. And number three, from Joshua 17, we see that we are required to have a courageous faith. We are required for courageous faith. Verse number 16. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley of chariots of iron. Both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. We can't do it. Well, wait a second. You just said you're a great people. In fact, they had enough strength in one area, in one aspect, to have what? Victory enough to make them pay tribute and taxes and to them. But we can't do this. Where does our faith end? God, you can't do that. There's not enough strength. I can't have victory over that. That temptation is just too strong. That bag of potato chips calls my name a little too loud. Or whatever other temptation it may be that comes our way. That alcohol, that drugs, that pornography. It's a little too loud. There must be constant growth. There must be continual obedience. But I must have courageous faith. God, you can do it. Because nothing's too hard for you. All power, Jesus said, has been given unto me. And that was in the context of dealing with being witnesses and going and sharing the gospel. But Paul said in Philippians 3, that I may know him and the what? Power of his resurrection. Verse 14, pressing towards the mark for the prize of God, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The requirement of courageous faith. The children of Manasseh did not have that faith that God could do it. They were waxed strong. They had strength, but God couldn't do it. They already saw God drive out people. They already saw God give victory in the land, but God couldn't do it again. And that's how we are in life sometimes. You can't do it, God. You won't do it. This is too tough. Are you in that hopeless situation that there's just no human way? Children of Israel are like that with David and Goliath. There's no way they could have victory over Goliath. But David said, it's not about us. He's defying God. And the temptations, the hopeless situations that you and I come to, it's not about me just getting out, just surviving. Or, man, I'm done with this. It's about God being glorified. That constant growth, that continual obedience, and courageous faith. God, you can do it. Trust God's promises. Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9. Didn't God make some promises to them as they're going into the land? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have... There's promises. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid... Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Courageous faith, because God can do it. I can't. And that's scary, as I face some of those situations and I just want to give up sometimes. But do I have courageous faith that God can do it? Children of Manasseh, man, these people have chariots of iron. There's no hope we have. Wait a second. God can do it. God gave victory already, and He will continue to give victory. Trust in God's promises, but trust in God's power. Don't get distracted by the circumstances. Philippians 1, verse 6, He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto His death. That's how Paul could grow in verses 11 through 14. By the power of God, that continual growth. Why? Because he had faith that God could do it. Don't get distracted by covetousness. Here they were distracted because they wanted stuff. And yet they didn't have the faith that God could really give them victory. Was it because they were too focused on the stuff that they could get from these people? You can get easy money consistently. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without righteousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he has said what? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Courageous faith. If you and I are going to have the power of God, it requires courageous faith. And finally, it requires consistent living. Children of Manasseh didn't consistently live. Look at verse 14, back in chapter 17. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? They claimed they were a great people, but they didn't live up to their name. You and I claim we're Christians, and sometimes we don't live up to our name. They claimed, man, we've got some strength, power. They claimed God's blessing on their lives, but they needed to live consistently who they claim to be. And so do I. Man, I'm thankful Jesus saved me. He has freed me from sin. And we think about that ultimate freedom as we've talked about in Jesus Christ. I'm not bound to my sin. Sometimes I don't have enough faith that God can get me through and give me victory over that. Sometimes I just say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I enjoy this. This is fun. I won't have God's power in my life then. Man, I want God's power. Not so I can do stuff, but God can be glorified. And that God's power would be seen through our lives by people getting saved around us and people growing and God making a huge difference in South Central Michigan. Because you and I have continual growth. We have constant obedience. We have courageous faith. And we have constant living. Living what I claim. But consistently living who God made you to be. Verse 14, as they said, I am a great people for as much as the Lord hath blessed me. Man, they knew God's blessing was on their lives. So let's live it. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus is Savior? Are you living like it? God has called you unto a holy life. Are you living that way? You can live that way with God's power, but it requires consistent decisions. And as we talked about, consistent what? Growth, obedience, faith. That's just how we live life. That's how God's power works in my life. That's how tomorrow can be different. And not lost in the hopelessness of the situation or lost in the weakness I feel over the temptation that comes over me. Consistently living what God has called me to be. Freedom is possible. Aren't you thankful? So how are you living? Are you living with God's power in your life? Do you have that continual growth? God, would you grow me tomorrow? Do you have that consistent obedience? God, I will obey when you speak. Do you have that courageous faith? God, you can do it. There's no way I can do it. But I will watch you work, God. And consistently, day in, day out, making those decisions to let God's power in our lives. Father, we thank you for your love. Oh God, would you help us?